Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Have you ever noticed that all of the great stories have some type of a battle, a battle between good and evil? And so stories that I'm talking about are like the Avengers or the Lord of the Rings, the great Star Wars movies, or even Superman. In each of these movies, each of these stories, there is a hero that is seeking to fight and defeat evil. And the evil threatens the very existence of either the world or even the cosmos. And usually in these stories, there is a point where it seems like evil is going to win, where evil is stronger, where it looks like the good side is losing. But then in this great moment, the good people arise and they are able to defeat the enemy. And so, well, today as we look at about heroes, I think the Bible, one way to think about it is the Bible is also a hero story. It's a hero story where God created this perfect world, this world where he placed Adam and Eve in this garden and told them to take care of it. There was no suffering, there was no death, everything was productive. And yet because of their disobedience, because of the temptation offered by the devil, by the serpent, this world, this cosmos was thrust into a fallen state where now people disobeyed God, where people experienced hard work and toil and suffering. And there was also death. God couldn't just sit back and watch this world that he created in love, to watch these people that he desired a relationship with suffer and die. And so God had a plan to redeem, a plan to redeem and save all of creation by sending a hero, by sending someone who was a mighty God, someone who could save and rescue this world and all of his people from sin, from death, and the power of the devil. Today, this power of Jesus has been unleashed into you and me. That's right. It's unleashed in the church. And today, as we go into this world, Jesus calls us to share in that mighty victory that Jesus won for us on the cross in the empty tomb, that we can share the good news of Jesus Christ. And today, the name of Jesus that we're looking at is Mighty God. In the actual Hebrew, this is from Isaiah chapter 9, the Hebrew word says El, or God, and Gibor. This is mighty, almighty. And so this is the name that is used for the Christ child, the one that was prophesied through Isaiah. Martin Luther, the father and kind of the great reformer of the church, when he was describing this word in Isaiah, he described it as a hero of strength, as a God of a hero, or a hero God. Literally, one who fights and conquers like an invincible God. I love this definition, and thinking about Jesus as someone who is mighty to save, he is here for us. But there's also some history that goes from the very first writing of these words. Isaiah was sent to King Ahaz, and King Ahaz heard these words, and he heard these words, and he wondered, what could this mean? But I think we also have two questions that I want us to wrestle and think about today, to ask ourselves, why do we need a hero God? What exactly are we being saved from? You know, we could just say, well, COVID-19, right? That's an easy answer right now. But is there something worse? Is there something more deadly and something that we need to be saved from even more? The second question is, how do we find this help? How do we get help from this hero God? So now I'm going to go back to history. Now I'm going to go back to King Ahaz and the prophet Isaiah. King Ahaz was the king of Jerusalem, the king of Judah, and he had enemies, a couple to the north and a couple to the south. And he knew that they wanted nothing better than to crush God's people and extinguish the flame of the people that God promised that he would always be with. Ahaz was afraid that God would forget his promise, that he would always have a son of David sitting on the throne of Judah, of Israel. And so through this prophet Isaiah, God sends a message to King Ahaz, basically saying, your defeat will not take place. Your enemies will not conquer you. But if you do not stand strong in your faith, that is all you need to do. Just stand firm in your faith. But if you don't, you won't stand at all. And so these are the exact words that God gave us through the prophet Isaiah to King Ahaz, but also prophesying to this name of Jesus. He says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. And he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And so King Ahaz, he faced a choice. He had to ask himself, do I trust in God? Do I trust in this word that God has delivered to me? Or do I trust in myself? Do I try to solve this problem and deliver myself from this situation that I'm in? And I think that's where we often find ourselves too. We find ourselves in situations that we aren't sure where to turn for a deliverer, for rescue, for help. And so sometimes we turn to easy answers. We turn to quick fixes. Sometimes we think, well, maybe if I just buy something or if I just try something worldly, that'll solve my issues. But today I want to challenge you, as you face a need for help, to turn to God, to turn to the Lord, to find strength and rescue in him. And so you might be wondering, as we look at our questions today, you know, why do we need a Savior and what exactly are we being saved from? Why do we need this hero God? And for us, we don't have military enemies camped out against us. Yes, we are facing a virus epidemic, a pandemic, but even more dangerous than these three endanger our soul for eternity. Our enemies are sin, death, and the power of the devil. You know, the forces of sin are these desires that come from within, the disease of all mankind. Isaiah describes our condition as we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid our iniquity on him, the iniquity of us all. Each of us, by our own decision, by our own actions, disobey God and go our own way. And so the effects of our personal sin are really disastrous. Pride, greed, lust, slander, selfishness. And when we engage in these activities, the relational result of this is it destroys the relationships that we have with other people. As we break these relationships, we turn them away from us, as we turn from them and hurt those who are closest to us. But there's also a spiritual aspect of sin. Sin, the Bible tells us, separates us from God. And because of sin, we deserve God's wrath and his judgment. This is the separation from God in this world and for all eternity. This is that death, the death that is our enemy. But we also face an enemy in Satan. Jesus tells us that the job description of the evil one is to steal, to kill, and destroy. He seeks to plot our ruin. And everything that in Genesis chapter 1 God says is good, Satan tries to destroy it, to destroy what God says is good. His actual name is Satan, which means accuser. That he comes to us and he accuses us of those things that we know that we're guilty of. And he says we have no hope. There's no hope for us because we can't save ourselves. These are our enemies. This is what we face. And so where will you turn? Where will you turn for help? Will you turn to God? And so how do we turn to our hero God? How do we find help from God? My friends, we look to the cross. My friends, we look to Jesus with his arms outstretched on the cross, where Jesus says, "It is finished. Our sins are paid for," that Jesus has taken upon himself the punishment that we deserve, and that through faith in him, we are set free. Through faith in Jesus, we are delivered from our sin, washed clean in the blood of Jesus. We are set free from death because whoever believes in Jesus, even though he die, yet shall he live. This is the promise of Jesus, that he's paid for our sin. He's defeated death, but he's also crushed Satan. That no longer can Satan accuse those who believe in Jesus Christ, because in Christ, we receive his holiness, his purity, his innocence. Before God, we stand in Christ. I want to share with you one verse, and this is from 2 Corinthians chapter 1:10 that speaks about what Jesus has done. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope, and he will continue to deliver us. I love that. Past, present, and future. What has Jesus done for us? He's delivered us. Because that's who Jesus is. He is our deliverer. And so today I want to pray for you that God may bless you, that God may allow you to be filled with his presence. As I share with you again these words from Ephesians chapter 1, this is my prayer for you, that you may be filled with the Spirit of mighty God, filled not with despair, but filled with hope. Paul says this, and I echo his words tonight. I have not stopped giving thanks for you and remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that has been given, not only in the present age, but also in the age to come. And God placed all things under his feet, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, you and me, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. May we be filled with the strength of our mighty God, our hero, Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.